G'day and welcome to Connectivity 199. I'm your host, Nicholas Bray, and today I am joined by Neil Ronahan.
Hi, everybody.
And Adam Abunasa.
I'm not like that starstruck today, it's just Neil.
It's just Neil today. He's like, just oh, no. Neil.
Hello.
On a podcast. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has, since Star Wars. I must have offended you so much you didn't want to talk to me.
No, I haven't been asked. Like, don't give me any of that shit.
What?
I've been busy. Like, I think if you asked me, I might not have been able to do it. But I think there might have been once that you asked me, but I couldn't do it.
Mm. Anyway, today we're going to be talking about the Pokemon anime. But first, we'll jump into whatever we've been up to. So, Neil, what have you been doing lately?
Probably the biggest one, and the review for that just went up on the day of recording, March 1st. The Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess HD, which... I mean, I haven't really touched much of Twilight Princess since it came out in 2006, in which I beat it within, like, a few weeks of it coming out. And I really enjoyed it then, and then over time I kind of soured on it, because I think that I guess I convinced myself, like, oh, the opening's so slow, it takes so long to get going, and, like, all the characters suck, and it looks muddy. And I think some of my complaints that I developed in retrospect were accurate, but most of them were kind of dumb. Because I think that the opening is slow. The from zero to dungeon is about 2 hours, which, like, I know when I did, when I replayed Ocarina of Time 3D, or when I played Ocarina of Time on the 3DS, the zero to dungeon time is about 30 to 40 minutes. So, like, that's a huge game.
It's like 10 minutes.
Oh, it's less than that. You guys don't want to play Ocarina of Time.
A casual, leisurely stroll to the Deku Tree, basically.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not talking about, like, speed running it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I mean, if we're going to go back and break down Ocarina of Time, it's like, okay, you have the intro cutscene, then you have to go around the town, then you need to talk to Soraya, then you
most of the stuff early on in Ocarina is just slow scrolling text and like cutscenes and stuff.
Yeah. Probably the actual gameplay is about 5 to 10 minutes. But as far as everything else that happens around it, like I know when I played Ocarina of Time 3D, I deliberately saved when I got to inside the Deku Tree and looked at the play clock and it was about a half an hour. But Twilight Princess, the zero to dungeon thing was I think I was knocking on the door of the Forest Temple at like maybe an hour 50.
Yeah.
And I think Skyward Sword might similarly be long. I didn't do the zero to dungeon test with Skyward Sword. And I think with Wind Waker,
I can't even remember what happens at the start of Skyward Sword, really.
I mean, that might be a slow burn too.
Mm.
It's really slow. You have to go through the flying training and your girlfriend pushes you off the building.
Yeah.
And it's really slow. It's like 4 hours.
I like the intro to Skyward Sword a lot. I still like the intro to Skyward Sword a lot more than Twilight Princess, but I feel like Twilight Princess is way less offensive going back to it now than I seem to remember it being when I tried to replay the game a couple times. I mean, it's just, do you guys care about any of the characters in Ordon Village?
Not really. I tried to like care about Lilia, Ilia?
I don't even know how to pronounce her name. I don't care.
But I was like, oh, you're not Saria. I can't really care about your dopey face.
Yeah.
I like the really ugly baby.
Yeah, the entrepreneurial baby. Which, like, I remember when I played that game initially, I had no idea what the hell was going on with that. Because I thought that that was, like, a toddler. And then, like, he opened a store? Like, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I love the ridiculousness of that, but I still, like, the game tries so hard, especially in those first couple, like, dungeons and areas that you go in, to make you care about Ordon Village.
Yeah.
And I never at all.
That worked on me in, like, Ocarina of Time. Like, I do kind of care about the Kokiri and the Deku Tree and stuff, and I'm not really sure exactly what the difference is. Maybe it was because they weren't really
A million characters in...
Yeah.
In Ocarina of Time, it's I don't actually know how to pronounce this. Is it Soraya? Saria?
I say Saria.
I say Saria.
I mean, I'm honestly not.
I think I used to say Sierra as well.
But, like, it's, you know why Ocarina of Time? It works because they focus on one character being your connection. Like, there is, what is it, Mido is a little dick.
Yeah,
and then,
like,
the Deku Tree's there, too, and Navi's introduced at that time, too. But really, Link's entire, like, his, I mean, I guess it's kind of a romance, but it's, I mean, maybe it's more a friendship, is, like, it's just with one person. There are other characters on the periphery, but it's just one person. And in Twilight Princess, you have the stuff with Ilya, then you have the stuff with Colin, then you have stuff with all the other kids that get kidnapped. Mm. And it's like, they would throw around names being like, oh, what about that one? I'm like, who the hell's that?
Yeah. It seemed like it felt a bit forced. They were trying to make you feel like connected to it, but it sort of fell flat.
I mean, the music does its part to make you care. Mm. And we're focusing on a very small part of this game.
Oh, yeah, we're just sort of...
That I think, I mean, this is just going back to it. What stood out to me was how fantastic the dungeons are. Even some of the early ones, like, I know it seems to be the popular consensus is that, like, the Twilight Princess's dungeons are fantastic, but only after the first couple, which I kind of disagree with. Because, like, the Fire Temple has that cool mechanic where, like, the magnets with the iron boots.
Yeah, that looks really cool. I like the look of
it. Yeah, and, like, it opens up to some really neat puzzles. And I, like, all the dungeons in this game are great. The crappy thing with Twilight Princess is that I feel like when you're not in a dungeon, the game's not that good. Because I think the side quests are some of the worst in the series. I think the characters outside of Midna are very unmemorable. But it's still very fun because the dungeons are such a big part of that game.
I hate Midna. Everyone loves Midna and I don't get it. She's mean. She always hurts my feelings. She never wants to help me with the puzzles. And she turns me into the damn stupid wolf. Like, I am not a Midna fan.
I don't even really disagree with you there. I think she's a fun character. And I think that it's not that often. You know, I mean, I guess it does happen kind of like in some Zelda games, more than others. She goes through a character arc in that game. And usually a lot of these Zelda characters are static. It's just outside of Link, like, getting new abilities and weapons and stuff. Usually it's just like, here's Zelda, she's a princess. Or like, Ganon's evil, and like, I'm a sage. And like, there's no character progression. With Midna, there's actually like, she's kind of the main character of the entire game.
Hmm. See, I never beat it. She was just mean to me and it turned me off. I was like, okay.
Well, at the start she was like using you basically. And then she ends up forming a bond with you later on, so.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like it's like they tried to duplicate that with Fi in Skyward Sword, which that kind of worked on me because I like the whole like the concept of I don't know, like, are we wary about spoilers for Skyward Sword? Because I think what I am about to say might be considered a slight spoiler.
It's alright, spoiler warning.
Yeah. If you're really that worried about like a minor thing about parts of the game, that's really easy to figure out. I mean, what I liked about Skyward Sword is it's kind of just, like, a story about a boy and a sword. Like, and the sword is kind of, like, active like a dog.
The Legend of Zelda, Boy and a Sword.
Yeah. But, like,
that's what it's called, man.
Yeah. The Skyward Boy and a Sword. But because, I mean, that's what it is that, like, I mean, the ending of that game is just, like, oh, Fi is the Master Sword.
Mm.
And then gets put into the stone or whatever, and then time goes on.
I think the problem
Is that the end of the game, or is that the beginning of the game?
Well, I mean, I think you do take her out of the stone or whatever, but I mean, I'm going off of, like, I haven't played that game in 5 years.
I don't really think it's spoilers. I think it's more, like, premise.
But no, but I don't think the fact that Fi becomes the Master Sword, I think that's technically a spoiler.
The spoiler at the end is that Ghirahim was Ganon's sword, and that was the big twist at the end.
No, yeah, but I think the idea, that, I mean, I guess, whatever, we're arguing over if something is a spoiler from a game that we haven't played in a while, but I mean, I like that element, and I feel like it worked for me in Skyward Sword, but it seems like it worked for way more people with Midna, as far as being that kind of, like, that character that you formed a bond with, that was partially the driving force of the entire story.
See, I really like Navi a lot too for some reason, even though Navi doesn't really have much of a personality outside of telling you information, but I think Fi compared to Midna was too dull, too like straight. they should have, like, given her more.
You should have made her less mechanical.
Than a robot, like a robot, yeah.
I liked when she danced. That was fun.
Mm, yeah.
Mm-mm. That was boring.
But yeah, anyway, so how do you like the HD-ness, Neil?
I use the highly advanced metric of bringing my wife into the room and being like, does this look like a modern game to you? And she said yes. So yeah, the HD graphics worked. I mean, it does feel like... It doesn't feel like I'm playing a game from 10 years ago, which I think is the best compliment that I can say about it. Yeah. Is that, like, it just felt like I was playing a modern game. Granted, it's not, like, a modern game that's going to blow your pants off, but it's, like, I think if you were to go play Twilight Princess, you're not going to be like, well, this looks like shit. Like, you're going to be like, yeah, this looks pretty good.
Yeah.
No, I will be like, yeah, I don't know.
You're going to have this discerning eye there. Ugly. Being like,
yes, we know that Adam hates Twilight Princess.
Toilet paper. Zelda toilet paper. I hate it. It's so dark and sad and muddy and...
I hated the art style back in the day. I think the art style, the strength of the art style is shown off in the HD graphics because it looks a lot better.
Does it, like, lighten up at all?
Yeah, like, I actually people keep on ripping on it for being so dark, and, like, there's a lot of vibrant colors in that game.
Yeah, in the daylight, out in the field and stuff, you get a lot of greens and blues and stuff. Like,
it's just that, unfortunately, the most notable part about that game is the twilight crap, which is dark because it's the twilight. But, like, you go to other areas, and you're like, whoa, this is really colorful. Like, I forgot how bright this was.
Now, I really don't want to rebuy this game. Should I play the Wii version? Should I push through it? Or should I just continue hating it forever without ever beating it?
Why don't you just not play it if you don't like it that much?
Yeah.
Because it comes up in conversation, like, every year. I have to get in an argument with someone about it.
Want to finish it so you can be like, I finished it and I still don't like it.
Is it worth it?
I mean, I think it's a very good game.
How far did you get, Adam? How far did you play all the way through it all?
No, so three times in my life, I've started at the beginning and gotten to, like, the third temple, like the water one.
Yeah.
And either beaten it or gotten lost in it or not started it. And that's as far as I've gotten. I don't know if it's like Ocarina of Time, cool, where though, after that I grow up and, like,
I think it's worthwhile beautiful. To push through that water temple and then see the next couple dungeons. And if you're still miserable after, like, dungeons 4 and 5, then maybe just give it up. But I mean, that's the one, like, for me, replaying it now, I didn't think that the early dungeons were that bad, but that seems to be what the general consensus is amongst people talking about the game and reminiscing about it now, is that those first three dungeons aren't the best, and then after that, it's fantastic. Like, I would say that the best dungeons of that game are later on. But I also, like, the Forest Temple does some cool things. Fire Temple, I really like the boot stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the boot stuff.
And then, I mean, when you get to the back half, that's when you start getting the ridiculous weapons, like the spinner, the ball and chain, the double claw shot. Like, there's some real great stuff in the back half of that game.
Mm-hmm. Maybe
you go someday. Snowboarding at one point.
That's stupid. Why am I snowboarding? Was this Sonic?
You're racing a Yeti.
Okay, yeah, this is Zelda Adventure, isn't it? It's just like Sonic.
Escape from the...
from Ordon.
Escape from Snowpeak.
Okay, so Adam, what have you been doing then?
Well, I got a PlayStation 4 on accident.
You know what? I got an Xbox One on accident, too.
It just happens.
This is the sometimes accidental other system.
You just accidentally paid like $400 on something.
Whoa, dude, I did not do that. Okay, $300. There was that ridiculous Best Buy deal that just showed up like late Saturday night, where so for $300 I got an Xbox One that comes with a free game, a $400 laptop, and a $50 gift card to Best Buy.
Yeah, it's a pretty crazy deal.
Yeah.
It got taken
price,
down.
Price error. Yeah, it was supposed to be $550.
Yeah, they switched the amount off and the sale price. So
yeah,
now it's like 250 off, but it's 600 or something.
Yep.
But my deal was not that good.
Back to your PS4.
It was like 15% off at Target or something. So it was only 300, and I had just gotten my tax return, And I told myself, like, okay, I'm going to pay off all of my credit card debt and, like, start fresh, you know, new year. Like, everything's going to be great. And then I got an email from the school that said, like, hey, we recalculated your student loans. Here's a grant. And I was like, a grant? Like, that's just free money, isn't it? So I had all this money, and I was like, what am I going to do with it? So I bought a PS4. And then I get home, and I'm looking through the store, and there are all these games on there that I can't get on Wii U, but I can get on PC, and I have a PC. So I was like, I immediately regretted it.
There's the folly with the PS4 and the Xbox One. If you have a good PC, like, you're not, there's only very few things that you can't get.
Yeah, there's like nothing on it. But I've had PS Plus for like 2 years, ever since they started doing the free games. I was like, oh, someday I'll probably get a PlayStation. I should probably do that. So even though I never had a PlayStation, I had PS Plus. So I would go every month and like download the games to my account. So when I finally got a PS4, it's like, oh, there's 20 games I've never heard of, but I have them. So that's cool. The first thing I did was I played Uncharted. I got the Uncharted bundle, and that was cool. I'd never played any of those. I really liked the Tomb Raider reboot, and everyone said it was an Uncharted ripoff. So I finally got to play that, and then halfway through it, zombies showed up, and I'm like,
yeah, that's like every Uncharted game. It's just like, oh yeah, now here's the undead.
There's the zombies. I'm such a big pussy, and like, I don't like zombies. Like, that's why I never beat Resident Evil 4. Cause I was like 17, and I was like, yeah, I'm badass. I'm gonna go get, it was when it came out for like $30 on Wii. I was like, yeah, I'm gonna get that. And I got it, and I took it home, and I was like, no. Oh my God, there's zombies everywhere. And still to this day, like, I can't be that. Don't like zombies. But I powered through it. I ended up staying up all night. Cause, you know, you can't sleep when you get to the zombie part of a game. You have to power through it or stay up all night until the sun comes up. But I beat that. And then I did not want to play Uncharted 2 because there were zombies in the first one. But I will. I will someday. And then I was looking through the PS Plus games, and I was like, oh, you know what? I just want something colorful and fun and happy that I don't have to think about. And there's this game there called Fez. And I was like, oh my gosh, I remember hearing this game was great, and I have it. I guess I should play it. So
it is. That game is fantastic.
Oh, it was amazing. I kept wanting to quit. I'd be like, oh, I'm done. Like, oh, I have to learn a secret language. I'm so done. Like, what? I have to learn weird codes. Like, I'm not doing that. And yet I kept going. I kept going, kept going, kept going. And then I like beat the game, and I was like, sweet, I'm done. I'm not going to play that anymore. Oh, and then I unlocked it. Oh, I turned it back on, and I went and I did everything.
Like, that game is masterful. Like, I had the good fortune of playing that game when the internet was first diving into it, when it launched on 360 back in the day. And, oh, like, God. That was probably one of my favorite weeks of, like, playing a video game. Because there are puzzles in that game that, like, people brute force to try to figure out. Because it would just be, like, there'd be this thing and be like, what do we do? I don't know. We need to do something with the bell. And, like, there were a couple things, but, like, I wound up, like, I had, like, two buddies that I played a lot of that game with, and it would just devolve into us being like, what do we even do? Like, we'd have fucking notebook pages out with, like, the language and the alphabet and everything. Like, I don't know if I ever want to play a game like that again, but it was magical.
I do. If anyone knows of a game like that, please tell me.
Go buy The Witness.
I keep hearing that. Also, I hear not to buy it. I don't know. I'm waiting for a Steam sale on that.
If you want a
Steam sale.
Well, developer has said that there won't be a sale on that for a very long time. And what I hear, it has a lot of the same, like, here's a ridiculous puzzle, try to figure it out, bye, that Fez has. Like, that was, hearing people talk about The Witness reminded me of the Fez stuff. And I almost bit into it, and then I realized, I'm like, I don't really have time to play it right now.
Yeah, I'm going to wait for a sale. Even if it's a very long time.
Okay, then maybe we'll wait for the sale, and then we can buy it together, and then we can experience it like everyone else did.
And then all the answers will be on the internet then, and I would not have gotten for the answers on the internet. but yeah, I remember hearing in my mind, like, somewhere at some point in the history of humanity, just the name Fez 2, I knew I had heard of it. I was like, that's a thing. I have to go look it up. And I was all excited, and I go, and I Googled it, and I did not get the answer that I wanted. So there's no Fez 2.
And yeah, it doesn't look like
there's ever.
Well, I mean, that dude got, like, doxxed off the internet, Phil Fish. He was kind of gregarious, might be the best way to describe him. He would say a lot of things that would piss people off.
Mm.
But I mean, I think Fez is brilliant, even if Phil Fish is kind of a dick.
Yeah, he made a game that pissed me off, but I was okay with it. You know,
I think Phil Fish was an early casualty of Gamergate, if memory serves me correctly.
Yeah, and I had to Google that too. What else are you guys keeping from me?
I mean, a lot. We want to protect you from the scary,
protect me from the world, the
scary wilds of the internet. We like you pure.
This is why I like Nintendo games, you know? Whenever you Google something, it's always like, it's delayed.
Don't Google anything. Don't Google anything about the Fire Emblem localization, and you'll be okay.
What happened
with this? Stay away from that one.
Okay, I'll stay away from that one.
All right, so...
Oh, wait, I have one last game.
Okay.
One last game. So, you know how I like my games with the weird stories that are just, like, all story games?
Yeah.
I played Firewatch, and it was so amazing.
I accidentally got the end of that game spoiled for me, and then I read about it and was like, I think I don't feel bad that I'm never gonna play it now.
The ending was, I don't know. I thought it would be more exciting than it was.
When I read the ending was, I was like, huh, that doesn't sound like that's fulfilling.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter because I still enjoyed it. I have to tell myself that it was fulfilling. It was another game that I stayed up all night playing, which is a really bad habit of mine. I can't do that. I can't be like, I should go to sleep, or I could stay up all night and play a video game. I guess I could. Too. Yeah, I'm in college. Like,
I might do that with the Xbox One after we're done recording this.
Oh, yeah, did you get it?
Holmes game to play. Yeah,
is
no,
it at your house?
Play. Yeah, like I said. Wow.
Do you have all your systems next to each other?
No, the Wii U's upstairs. The PS4 is Xbox One.
You gotta stack that shit.
I mean, I don't stack have it. To.
No, you stack don't stack
it. Stack it like Amiibo, unsafe. Man.
Overheating. Yeah,
I don't stack Amiibo.
You don't stack your Amiibo?
They're standing next to each other. I have space now.
They have to stand on top of each other, man. Amiibo stacking is like, maybe you're not like hardcore Amiibo like I am, but that's
I'm not.
Hardcore Amiibo. That's what we do. We stack our Amiibo.
And then do you go Amiibo tipping? You go to other people's houses and you're just like, bitch, there goes your stack. You
knock them over. Yeah, man. No, I'm kidding. We play Jenga with the Amiibo. but yeah, Firewatch was cool. You just walk around the forest. You're this guy. Your life is kind of falling apart. You're not, you don't have kids. You're not as successful as you thought you'd be. Your relationship with your wife is kind of, like, messy. I'm not going to spoil it. And then you take a job living in a tower in the woods in a national park, watching for fires. And the whole
Hence the name.
Yeah. And the whole game, you just talk to your boss on a walkie-talkie. And she's this lonely lady who's worked at the park for a really long time. You're this lonely dude, and she tries to figure out, like, why you would want to leave to live out in the woods. He's kind of grow close. You learn a lot about her. And that's what it is. You're just walking around the woods, making friends with someone. She tells you about different parts of the woods. Like, oh, that used to be a scout camp. Yeah, kids always go there and throw beer everywhere. Like, it's just fun. It builds a little world that you get to live in for a couple hours. And I think it took me, a lot of people complained it was short, but it took me like 5 or 6 hours. So it's like 3 movies, you know? It's a good amount of time.
So anything else on the PS4 that you're enjoying?
I don't even know what else to get. There was a big sale and I bought a lot of stuff, but I didn't play any of it.
That's why I don't think I'm going to renew PlayStation Plus when I think in the summer. I don't play any of the games anymore. Like, I download them out of habit and I'm like, wait, I'm not actually playing any of these. The last one I played was Rocket League. And And I've been trying to play that with Nick for months, and that still hasn't happened.
Yeah, we need to try and do that.
Yeah, I had, like, a Rocket League bender when I just, like, there was a weekend where, like, I had some buddies over and just basically played it all weekend. The local multiplayer in that is surprisingly fantastic.
Hmm. Okay, so, yeah. I'll jump in here and finish up. So I got my N64 back the other day with the HDMI mod installed into it. And it is really cool, upscaling the N64 to 1080p. It works quite well. I've mainly been using it with the scan lines and stuff on because it makes it look, I don't know, as it should, like on a CRT, I suppose. Without them, it looks a little like rougher. Like there's a lot more jaggies and like a softer image and stuff. But yeah, the mod's like going to be great for like capturing N64 and also like just taking it to other people's houses and like if you've wanted to play with like other people and you don't have to go through composite to upscale upscale to the HDTV.
It'll actually look nice.
Yeah, it does. It looks nice. It looks really good. I'm actually I captured some stuff with a friend's capture thing yesterday, so I'm hopefully going to have like a video up on the NWR channel at some point soon, if not already out by the time this is out. But so yeah, everyone will be able to check out exactly sort of what it looks like and how it looks at such a high resolution. I don't know what there's much more else to say about it other than cool.
What games have you been playing with it?
I've mainly been chopping and changing just to, test it out and make sure there's no problems like with the installation. It doesn't seem to be. It seems fine. It looks absolutely fine. But today I played some Mario 64 for an extended period of time, and that was pretty good.
What a great game.
Yeah. And I also played a bit of, what was it? Conker. Conker's Bad Fur Day.
I might start replaying Conker soon, because I'm gonna get rare replay on my Xbox One.
It's
part of my motivation for wanting to get one.
Yeah, and that'll be nice and native 1080p. It'll be all clean, and you're gonna have to get some buddies over and play the multiplayer on that.
The multiplayer is so good. Well, I need to get more controllers for the Xbox One. Controllers are freaking expensive. I mean, I think they always were.
I think ever since the Wii generation, like, starting at that generation, they jumped up quite a bit.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure, like, GameCube controllers here were, like, $50. But then when the Wii remote came out, it was, like, $70 or $80 for a Wii remote.
Yeah, I mean, I know. I think Wii remotes here were $40. Nunchucks were $20. Yeah. And I think, like, I want to say PS, because I haven't really bought a controller since I got, like, I have three controllers for my PS4, and I think they were $50 a piece.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what, like, the price of most controllers is at this point. And granted, I mean, like the Xbox, my Xbox One controller had a fucking update. Like,
the controller had an update.
Yes, the controller had an update. I mean, they're high-tech things, I guess. There's also that Xbox One Elite controller that's like $150.
Nintendo could win this price war by like putting out a gamepad for like $200 or whatever it is.
But like, I mean, it's tough because I really love playing local multiplayer games, but controllers are so expensive. So like for the PS4, I've been kind of jerry-rigging it by having my Vita be a fourth controller for like Towerfall and stuff.
Mm.
Also, my PS4 is kind of like janky, but okay, we can stop talking about
anyway,
Sony and Microsoft consoles. We will
stop talking in this segment now. Yes, we'll stop talking about the dirty competition, the PlayStation and the Xbox. And during the break, actually, I have recorded a little informal interview with. The guy that is trying to recreate the N64 controller parts, like the control stick parts. He's actually got a Kickstarter up at the moment, which is already funded. But yeah, so I had a chat with him the other day, and we'll be going to that little interview right now. So enjoy that, and we'll be back after that little mini segment. I'm here talking to Andy Vargas. He is the creator of reproduction analog sticks for the Nintendo 64, or well, yeah, soon to be at least. Hi, Andy. How are you going?
Good. Good. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. So let's just jump right into it. With the N64 analog stick, has always been a bit of a problem with it wearing out. So you're the first person really to finally, you know, go all in and try and reproduce the parts that wear out in the stick, so we can have nice brand new quality N64 controllers again.
Right.
So when did you decide to undertake this endeavor?
So last year I got into the Super Smash Brothers 64 community.
Mm-hmm.
And I started playing with them, and I realized that they all had a problem with their sticks, and they kept buying it from eBay for $20 to $200 for a new controller stick. And day by day, and every controller that was bought out, and there was just less and less, and the repair parts that were out there, they just weren't good. They just weren't good enough. The speedrunners didn't like them, and the Smash 64 pro players didn't like them at all. And so I decided, you know, I'm gonna try and make my own. And so in September, I bought a new unopened 64 controller from eBay. I took out the parts, I sent them for scanning, and I 3D printed a prototype.
Yeah, the I've actually, you know, I considered doing this a couple of years ago or something too. Like, I think a lot of people have thought about doing this at one point or another, but once you really start thinking about it, it becomes a lot more sort of complicated to try and reproduce the parts, or like even 3D printing isn't going to be like completely viable because the plastic is too weak, right?
We're not going to
print it out.
Yeah, well, there's different materials I could choose from, and I chose they told me to use nylon, the nylon material, and I said, sure, why don't we go with that? You guys are the professionals, I trust you. And so we did it, and it worked, and the dimensions were almost there. It was just the stick that fit in very nicely. The other parts, it was just too detailed. But then it can be scary. It can be scary trying to get in this and not knowing what you're doing at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you did touch just on the, other replacements that are out there. The best one I've been able to find is just basically buying a PCB from a guy called Micro. Have you heard of, that solution?
No, so you mean like
a GameCube control stick, and this guy in some European country, I think, has like basically rewritten the software so the potentiometer like works close to an original stick, but yeah, yes. It's still not 100% perfect.
Right, which I truly appreciate, like these guys who trying to do it. And there's a guy in Germany who's he may be the guy you're talking about. He's making metal joysticks. His name is Linus, and Nintendo Forever Zeta boards. Never heard of him, but I looked at his stuff and it looks really great. And I really hope he pushes through. The problem with the potentiometers is The GameCube has a 60-degree potentiometer, but the potentiometer that's being used in the 64 controllers or these new 64 replacement parts. They have 38 degrees.
Yeah.
And so there's some problems that can go with that. And like you can't execute some specific actions like a spin attack in Smash or some other games that require precise inputs. But some players do prefer them. And like if you're a casual player, you won't really mind that. And that's perfectly fine.
The guy that I ordered those PCBs from, it also comes with a 60 degree potentiometer as well. So
awesome.
Yeah, they're pretty good. You should maybe look into those. Anyway, so you recently launched a Kickstarter to try and help the process along, like one of the last steps, I'd assume, in the production of these new replacement parts for the control stick. You just want to go over a bit about how your Kickstarter's going and what the goal, overall goal is going to be?
Yeah, of course. So it was my goal to... our goal was $8,000, and most of that money was going to go to the molds that we needed to be manufactured in order to get a replica of the sticks. And those two molds they're going to be of the toggle stick and the bowl that goes underneath the stick. And our primary goal is to get the molds right, to get the dimensions perfectly.
Yeah.
If we can get the dimensions perfectly, we can come out with a good replacement part. The second problem to that is the material that's going to be used. And the material has always been a problem. The Nintendo 64 sticks, the originally manufactured ones, they wore down really quickly, and not many people liked it. And we wanted to improve the plastic as well. We want to improve the plastic, and we want to improve the design, which is also in our plans. And so that's our primary mission, and to just bring these replacement parts back to the community and want to have the controller alive again, because there's less and less controllers out there on eBay.
Yeah. So, in regards to like making it not wear down as quickly, like what's one of this? Have you got any? You got a solution in mind? Is it just a harder plastic, or
we've got multiple plastics. I don't want to get too much into technical jargon, the plastic will be harder than the plastic being used in the originally manufactured sticks.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also another way. You've probably heard of greasing the stick, which has immensely helped sticks. The durability of the stick is extended for maybe years or months.
Mm.
And I've greased my stick with a Taylor lube, which is amazing. Some others prefer other different types of greases.
Yeah, I tried a ceramic grease on an old controller.
Ceramic grease is another one that people love to use, and that's great. And I've received messages and ideas to include small bottles of grease with each part inside the package, which I think will help. And so they won't have to like come back after like 3 months, and it's like, oh hey, my stick, the stick you made sucks, and you know, and well, so I want to help them, like, you know, why don't we extend that, you know?
Yeah, even with the original sticks, though, like I've got my two original controllers from like 2000 are still tight. Like that's just from normal use. I mean, it's different if you're a pro Smash Brothers player or going crazy on Mario Party or something, but they can last quite a while. And I think for most ordinary people, if they ordered, say, one of your sticks, it would probably last for quite a while, I'd imagine. Because like I said, my original control sticks are still close to new. Like they've obviously worn slightly, I guess, but nothing too noticeable yet.
Yeah, I'm really jealous of your new sticks then. Because I have my controller is wearing out, so I'm kind of making this for myself too. It's like, okay, I gotta get this right so I can replace my controllers too.
Yeah, yeah. A couple of years ago, when I was getting back into N64 stuff, I was like, right, I've got to try and get, I don't know, stockpile a few controllers and ways to be able to use it in the future, because it didn't seem like a solution like this was on the horizon at the time. Where we can just swap out the exact parts basically, and right. I guess even if like sticks still wear down with your replacement parts eventually, it shouldn't, hopefully it'll be easy enough to just order some more. I mean, hopefully you can just sell them in bags eventually or something, where you can just have like 20 sticks standing by.
It's crazy. The 64 players for the Smash, the Brazilians, they brought back like so many sticks back to their country. They posted a picture on the community, got so many likes. Like, hey guys, look at all these sticks that we got.
Stockpiling
sticks. And there's some funny comments too. I love there's this funny comment on Smash Bros. Reddit with the Kickstarter, and someone said, well, there goes my 20 year investment for my new controller is going to sell for $2,000. And so it's pretty funny, but I love the community so much.
Yeah, yeah. And speaking of another controller, have you ever tried the Hori Mini controller?
I haven't.
I bought a few of those because I was like, oh, well, those aren't going to wear out. Uh-huh. I may as well grab a couple of those.
I've heard, I really want to get into repairing that as well. I've heard that they had there's a problem called ghosting. And it's where, I don't really know exactly what the term means, but Smash players, they've had problems with their Horis, and that they won't execute an action that they should have. They press A and it comes out B, and so that's the problem. And then no one, I don't think, really knows what's going on inside that controller. But I've heard that the Hori is a great alternative, and I've seen lots of players use it. The only problem is it's expensive. I think
it is expensive. It varies. This is in Australian currency, but I'm pretty sure they vary between like 90 and 120.
$80?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, it hovers around there, depending on the condition and stuff. But, so I guess in closing, your Kickstarter was funded, and the sticks are going to be produced, like, within the next few months, I think the goal was.
If the sticks will be produced in May and shipped in May. The molds, right when the funding ends on March 15, I believe, Kickstarter will process the funds, and we'll have those funds within another 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And then we'll submit the order for the molds. And we're working really closely with the CNC machinery near me to get these right.
Well, congratulations on the successful Kickstarter, and great work on all this planning and stuff, because a lot of people have thought about doing this in the past, but it is a bit more involved than just making a mold and by yourself and putting it out there.
It is. It took me a few months to research, but we're now here.
Yeah, excellent. Oh, thanks for having a chat with us, and we'll talk to you later maybe.
All right, definitely, Nicholas. It was great to meet you, man.
Yeah, you too. Thanks.
All right, thank you.
Thanks again to Andy for appearing on Connectivity. We actually did speak a little longer after I'd finished recording, so I just wanted to relay some bit more information on covering some of the stuff that we quickly chatted about. Andy's hope is to get the parts down to as being as cheap as possible, so he said hopefully somewhere in the $2 to $5 range eventually for the sticks. He would like to have it so people can buy bulk sticks at some stage in packs. Some other future goals include adding a rubber grip to the top, so it's, you know, it's a bit softer, less hard on the thumb. Obviously, the gears that also are part of the original controller design, those wear out, so one of the goals is to hopefully scan those and recreate those gears as well. And a really far out goal for Andy and his company is to have whole stick enclosures. So this would be a plug and play basically solution. It would just be the entire stick, control stick mechanism and enclosure that you would just take out your old one and throw this new one in, and it would work right away. Some of the colors for the joysticks that are possible depending on the material, final material chosen. So he's not too sure on the colors as of yet, because the final plastic hasn't been chosen. So some of the colors that might happen is black, clear, gray, red, brown, yellow, the original gray, purple, and turquoise. So, you know, maybe eventually we'll find out we can get some cool multicolored sticks. But anyway, I'll throw us back into the main segment where we are about to talk about the Pokemon anime. And we're back for our segment on the Pokemon anime. Maybe first what we'll do is, Neil, since you missed out on the last Pokemon episode, do you want to just recap sort of your experience with Pokemon? Like, how did it start with the games and, like, obviously the anime?
I was super hyped for Pokemon. When Nintendo was revving up the marketing machine for that, I was in the perfect age group. I would have been, it was 98, so I would have been like 10 years old when Pokemon came out. And I recall with my best friend, Oh, I know. What am I, like 2 years older than you?
Old, man. I was born in 90.
Are you
90s,
a 90s kid? I was born in
1990. You know, I was born March 15th of 1990, everyone. My birthday is
literally 2 years older than you. To the day.
No, you're exactly as old as my March 18th. Wait, when's your birthday? Oh,
March 18th.
Okay, so you're not even 2 full years older than me. Not even 2 full years older
almost.
Than me.
Almost. Yeah. But anyway, so I was right in that wheelhouse, and I remember Nintendo Power, they had Pokemon Power that would come out along that, and just obsessing over that before the game came out. And then the game came out, and I just devoured it. I like played through it multiple times, got all 150 Pokemon, like just adored that game. Watched the anime a little bit. If you want to check it out on NintendoReport.com, please read it, because I want to do more, because it's pretty fun and dumb. I'm going and rewatching the original anime, which we'll talk about more in a bit, and writing like recaps of them, like a la the AV Club's TV Club stuff. But yeah, so I'm a couple episodes into that, and I'm still at a point where I've seen all these episodes. Right now I'm looking at an episode list of the first season, and I think I probably stopped watching around, like, I guess, like, maybe, like, episode 15. Like, I remember, like, I don't think I really got past, like, the fourth gym in the anime, and I kind of just stopped watching it. But I was into Pokemon cards. That probably faded away in, like, 2000, 2001. But I was so into Pokemon Red and Blue, it was ridiculous. And then I kind of just fell off it for a long time until I got back into it in college to avoid doing finals.
Wait, so
with Pokemon
Diamond
and Pearl.
You never jumped on the Gold and Silver bandwagon at the time?
I did play Gold. I had a friend who he had, I don't remember if it was Gold or Silver, but then he got Crystal. And he was like, hey, like, we should both play these. So I borrowed his copy of Gold or Silver and, like, restarted and then played that and thought that was really fun. But I gave it back to him, and then it never really occurred to me being like, maybe I should buy one of those new Pokemon games. Because I would just routinely restart Red or Blue and just replay it. Like, that was how I digested Pokemon games for close to a decade. Was just keep on incessantly replaying the original. And then, yeah, Diamond and Pearl, I got that because I had a friend in my dorm. She had Diamond, and then I got Pearl. And it was the kind of thing where it was like, it came out around when finals were for the semester. And I was like, oh, I'll get it after finals. Like, it'll be a reward. And, like, 2 days, like, I probably had, like, a week of finals left, and I went out and bought it. So that was a terrible decision, but I've been there for every main release since, except for I still haven't gotten Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire.
I actually bought Sapphire recently, just mainly because soon it's probably going to start disappearing from shelves and the price will go up.
I've been keeping an eye out for it. If I were to ever find it for like cheaper than $30, I'd buy it immediately. But
dude,
it's still
Target.
Full price.
Target. My buddy got not right now, but like a couple months ago, maybe a couple weeks ago, my buddy got Omega Ruby or Alpha Sapphire for like $25 or something.
Okay. It probably went on sale and I just wasn't paying attention. Yeah. But I do plan on getting that. At this point I don't know if I'd ever play through it though. Because right now I'm romping through Pokemon Red. I got Pokemon Yellow. I've never played that before. And then Sun and Moon will be out in
the
fall.
I'm not going to play Sapphire. Like, I just got it for the future, maybe.
That's the thing. I
pulled open my Ruby today, and I have like 6 badges. And then I walked for like 10 minutes and got to the next town. And I just wasn't feeling it. I was like, you know what? I do not want to play this right now. I just beat Red, and it's I don't know. I wasn't excited.
Pokemon Red is really good.
Oh, Red's amazing.
It's such a good game.
I fully played through Blue a couple years ago and got everything again, and it was a fun to re-experience it and stuff again. I'm not sure I'm going to play through the Virtual Console releases all that soon either. Mainly because, it still feels a bit fresh. And I think, you know, replaying an old game, having a bit more time between playthroughs is probably good for that sort of nostalgia hit, I guess. But I am tempted to play through the 3DS 1 version, Virtual Console one, just because I want to try and transfer it to Sun and Moon when it comes out.
No, I mean, like, I'm... That's part of the reason why I got Red and Yellow, is because originally I was thinking, I got Red, there will be a review up on the site, because we got, it'll be me, Brian Rose, and Alex Calafi. We're each playing different versions of it. But I got Yellow because I was just like, well, I've never played it, and also I can just transfer all these Pokemon to Sun and Moon.
Yeah.
It'll be amazing.
Yellow's pretty good. I don't mind Yellow. It's more, you know, like the anime version of the game.
Yeah.
They added like Team Rocket and Pikachu and all that, which is kind of cool.
See, Nintendo lost a sale for me. Because I went there to the store and I was going to buy all three of them because I have that money that I need to spend before the school realizes they make the mistake and take it back. So I was going to buy all three of them, but they come in three different languages. You can get, like, I think it's English, Spanish, and French. So I said, okay, I'll just get one now. And I got red in English. And I was like, if I ever decide to learn a new language, if I, like, go learn Spanish or learn French, then I can go and get that version of Pokemon in, like, blue or yellow or whatever. So I'm never going to learn another language. So they're not... They're not going to sell me those copies.
So, okay, I guess we should just, yeah, jump into the discussion on the anime. I did mention on the last episode that, yeah, I caught the first episode sort of like by accident. I just woke up one morning and went down to watch the cartoons, and Pokemon was on. I was like, what's this crazy show? It's sucked me right in. I, like, just needed to see more episodes, so I watched it every day it was on. I started recording them to VHS, so getting up every morning, recording on the VHS tape, pausing the ads out and everything. So I did that for quite a while. I had like 6 or 7 tapes full of Pokemon recordings at one point, I think, which I then later recorded over to record Doctor Who.
Oh, not worth it, man.
In about 2005, I was still using VHS to record stuff. So yeah, like, the first episode is, like, really good at introducing the, sort of the world, and Ash, obviously, Pikachu. It's also pretty dramatic with, like, Spearow attacking Pikachu and riding on the bike.
Pikachu
in the storm
just, like,
and...
blows up the world.
Yeah.
Constantly.
Oh, in every episode, yeah. Pikachu blows
right,
everything
up. Right now I'm
2 for 2
rewatching this shit. Like, where the first episode, he kills all those Spearow. I don't think they fainted. I think they did.
They're dead.
And then he blows up a hospital in episode 2.
Yeah, he blows up the entire building. Because he's supercharged, right? He was supercharged
from
the...
Yeah, it was all the Pikachus.
Yeah, all the Pikachus. Like, this show is real dumb, but in a super fun way.
I mean, like, Pikachu fried Misty's bike as well, so...
Yeah. Yeah, this show, it came to me in a really weird way, where I was, like, the big Pokemaniac in my family. Like, I love Pokemon. I'm the one that had the game. I was, like, super into it, and I only heard rumors of the show. I was like, there's a Pokemon show, and I was like, what? And my school did this really stupid thing where it only had, like, 5 grades, and for, like, one of the grades, you would have to get bused to a different school. It was, like, some diversity thing they tried to do, and I was in the 3rd grade, and my school did not have 3rd grade, so I had to go to another city or another school all the way across town just to take 3rd grade, which I probably just should have just skipped because it wasn't very hard. But the rest of my family, my brother and my 2 sisters, would sit at home and watch the Pokemon anime while I was on the bus. And then I would get home and they would, like, tease me, be like, there's a Pokemon show. We watched it. You didn't get to watch it. And, like, I didn't know whether or not they were telling the truth. Or if they were just messing with me, like, is this real? And then for Christmas, my grandma got me a VHS that had the first 3 episodes on it. It was called Pikachu, I Choose You.
Yep,
and
yep.
It was beautiful. It only had those 3. And it came with a little tiny comic version of the Electric Tale of Pikachu. And then I ended up getting all of those comics before, like, I ever saw the anime. So I actually, like, read this weird comic adaptation of the anime before I ever saw the anime.
Is that, but, like, yeah, that's like the manga, right?
Yeah, but the one that's about Ash, not the one that's about Red. The one that's about Red is really good. I mean, this one's good too, but
yeah, I read a lot of the one that was about Red.
Yeah, I have like 30 volumes on my shelf. So pretty cool over here. But yeah, this show is magical. Like, it's really special the way that it builds the world. It really makes you feel like the Pokemon world is a believable, like, place that people live in.
Yeah, it's like, it's something I want the games to, like, touch on. Like, so I really want, like, a 3D, like, console version, because it would make it feel closer to, like, the world of the anime, where it's, like, so huge and, like, I don't know, just interacting with, like, random different people and doing, like, saving Bulbasaur or whatever, you know, like
yeah, I want one like that, but with like real time battles, like LBX or like a Tails game.
That'd be interesting. I mean, they have that, like, I guess, yeah, the Pokemon Rumble is, I guess, the closest to a real-time battle system in a Pokemon game.
And well, that's super arcade. Poke Park. Man, did you ever play Poke Park?
No, those I games never did.
The shit. Oh, my God.
I heard they're very good.
The first one's just really cutesy, and then the second one is, like, it starts off pretty cutesy, and then, the dark type and ghost Pokemon come and, like, take over the world and drag everyone to hell.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's like really intense. You're like, what the fuck game did I buy for my child?
Yeah, I played a couple demos of those games and they seemed really fun, but I never got them.
I mean, they're just minigame collections, but they're in a world and you get to actually battle Pokemon, even though you're only Pikachu ever.
So the anime, originally, I'm pretty sure, was only going to be one series long, and Ash was going to win the Pokemon League, but during, you know, the production of the show and as it was airing and Pokemon had become this huge worldwide phenomenon, they opted to continue the show, so Ash lost the Pokemon League. So the first season, basically, I think, yeah, it goes up to like episode 80-something, around 80, and that's sort of the end of the Pokemon League, and that's generally considered like season one. So what's some of our like favorite episodes? I know Neil hasn't like watched it that recently, but Adam, aside from the Squirtle Samurai,
Squad, man. Squirtle Squad.
No, man, fuck the Squirtle Squad. The Meowth episode.
Yeah, the Meowth one's pretty good. Like where you get his backstory and how he learned to talk, and it's kind of sad, really.
You kind of sad. You cry every time you watch that. Man, it's so sad. Poor Meowth. He loved that girl Meowth so much. And then he freaked her out with his creepy talking.
Is that what? The first season?
Yeah, it's like episode like 50-something. Like it's
okay.
But my favorite part is that the first word he ever learned to say was rocket. So that's why he joined Team Rocket.
I actually like some of the earlier episodes. I don't mind the
Samurai
School of Hard Knocks, the school one, where Ash and that are like competing against like the students of that school, and like they were really good at like the knowledge base of Pokemon, but Ash beat the person because he like improvised stuff. Like he just sort of
his own Kobayashi Maru
cheated.
He didn't cheated cheat.
And didn't follow. I can't the remember rules how he won, but he didn't.
So cheat. Ash is basically Kirk.
Yeah, I guess maybe. Yeah, Kirk, Ash, that same. Another episode that stood out back, like when I first watched it, was the Bill's Lighthouse episode. I thought that was really cool as well.
Oh,
I like Bill.
Yeah,
he was fun on the show.
Isn't he like British or something for some reason?
Probably. then you have like the episode where he gets Charmander, Bulbasaur, and like the Squirtle Squad episode is pretty good. The episode where they go back to James's like mansion, like parents and stuff.
Yeah, that's a good one.
You find out about his grandmother and everything. And he like comes across Jezebel. Jezebel, yeah. Jesse's twin.
Oh basically. My god, but Jesse's backstory, she was so poor. They ate snow.
Yeah.
Holy shit, that was heavy. They made like snow like steak and stuff.
Yeah. An episode that I thought was really cool as well was the one where after the SSN sunk and they get washed up on the island with giant Pokemon, but it turns out it's like a theme park.
Oh yeah.
They didn't realize, and like Pikachu and Charmander and all that are like by themselves and they're subtitled because you can't understand them otherwise. So that was funny. Some of the battles in the end of, at the end of the series with the Pokemon League are pretty epic. From memory, like the grass field one with Bulbasaur against like a Scyther and stuff. Like some of the battles in the Pokemon League episodes are pretty like well thought out and entertaining.
Yeah. Like there's the one with Kingler.
Yeah. Yeah. Krabby.
Yeah, did he evolve in that battle?
He evolved in, yeah, I think Ash used him. Was like, why did, oh yeah, and he needed a water Pokemon to throw out there.
He never used them in the whole series, and then he pulls him out for the Pokemon League.
I think he becomes like awesome though.
Yeah. You know, I heard a really interesting theory like somewhere on the internet a couple years ago, and I just can't shake it out of my head. And it's that everything, like all the Pokemon media that we get in our world, is actually like Pokemon media from the Pokemon world. Like there isn't like an official canon one, but like the games are video games from the Pokemon world, and the anime is an anime from the Pokemon world.
Wait, what the fuck are you talking about?
This weird theory. What? It's weird. Yeah, but it stuck in my head.
Is this like how people think that like Bruce Wayne and Batman v Superman is actually going to be Deathstroke?
No, that is ridiculous. That doesn't make sense. So but this makes sense. Well, that's why there's not like one main true storyline. They're all like based on the same true story, but we've never heard the true story. So like
we need to find out the true origin of Pokemon.
Yeah.
Well, there's like this.
We need the
like,
proper canon.
The legend in the Pokemon world of this character named Red, and that's what they based Ash off of. That's what they based the games off of. That's what they based the comics off of. Like, it's all based on this legend that we don't know of. This is how we're told the legend.
Okay.
Sure. You guys are laughing at my crazy theories.
I like how it was this guy came up with this theory, and you're like, it's my theory.
It's not my theory. I found it on the internet many years ago, but I hold it near and dear to my heart. It's my theory. You're going to edit that out, though, right?
So, I guess the first movie also sort of falls under, like, the first season or two of Pokemon. So what are our like memories and like thoughts on the first movie and like the whole lead up to that and stuff?
I feel really bad for making my dad take me to that movie.
I didn't see the movie at first. I did buy a ticket to the Pokemon movie to go see the movie Dogma because I was not of legal age to see Dogma.
Oh, man, you got ripped off. Unless you got the card. Did you get the card and see Dogma?
I think I did get the card, actually.
Nice.
No, the first movie is good. And I liked how...
It actually is pretty fun. It is very fun.
And I liked how in the like the series, you had like an episode where it sort of like led into it. Because they showed like Mewtwo taking off and stuff, I think, at the end of an episode.
Yeah,
well, that was in the opening of every episode.
No, it was like some like when he beat Giovanni.
Yeah,
or when he beat the eighth
he took
gem.
It out of the building. Like, oh, what's that? And then you find out like, like in the movie, there's a clip that shows Gary fighting Giovanni and stuff as well.
But which movie had the B-52s in it?
What
is that? The first one or the second one? Oh, it's the second one. I'm sorry. Second one, I had this song where they're like, "The jazz and what?" And it's the B-52s. It's fucking ridiculous. All the music. Oh my god, the music in the anime is so beautiful. Like, I listened to the whole soundtrack the other day a couple times.
I was
going to
mention that. Like, the original, like, orchestral music's pretty good. I really like the, do you know the song they play where it's like, at the end of an episode, and it's like, becoming twilight and it's like
that one.
I'll play the song.
I don't know what you're talking about, but they're all beautiful, and I want a game that has that music. That the
actually
music
that'd
from
be
the
an extra step for Pokemon one day. Maybe they'll eventually add some like orchestral samples or something.
Well, they have them. They could just use them. I think they used them in, like, Stadium.
Mm. Yeah.
They could probably get away with it on the 3DS. But I don't know what the music sounds like now. I don't know if, like, it's crappy now. Because everything in the old episodes was, like, handcrafted and beautiful. But now it's so formulaic. Like,
I wouldn't go that far. I mean, if you watch the animation now, I mean, you can tell it's pretty...
It's not rough. Handcrafted. It's done on a computer. The old ones, someone drew every episode. Someone drew every episode
now. It's just the difference is they're not drawing it on paper.
No, they didn't draw every frame. They had a computer draw a frame. They made the model or whatever, and then it
they made the 2D model. Them. Okay, all right.
Mm-hmm. It's different all than right. trying something.
The one thing that annoys me with the early episodes now is, like, when I watch it on DVD or, like, Netflix or something, is, like, whenever Pikachu uses his electric attack, they drop the brightness by, like, 50%.
Yep.
Yeah, and every time there's a bright light. It's so annoying. It's very annoying. I didn't notice that until I was, like, until, like, 2009.
Yeah, I didn't remember that happening on, like, on the TV broadcast, but I assume that it had to have, like, been the same master and stuff, but...
Yeah, it was just... after the Porygon thing in Japan.
Yeah, it's just, it looks so bad, though. It's annoying. It does look
bad. Which, have you guys ever seen that episode? The Porygon episode?
Back in the day, yes, but I don't remember much. Yeah, that was that's the seizure episode, right?
Mm, yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah.
It's There's a couple right. of banned episodes. There's another one.
The gun one. I don't one. Know
what it was about, though, where James ends up having boobs.
It's Beauty and the Beach. Oh.
They cut that whole episode for that reason.
No, they just cut out James cross-dressing, but like that episode is short. And then
the whole episode.
No, that's the best episode because Ash's mom wins.
Oh, okay.
At the end, she has the trophy, and she wasn't like in the competition or anything. Like, it's not a dress. She just has the trophy and is like, "Bye, Ash." But she has the trophy from the beauty.
I feel like Mama Ketchum is. The secret best character in the whole series.
It's just hilarious when realize that Ash and his mom are voiced by the same person.
Oh my god, are they really?
What?
Yeah, they are. Yeah. And James and Brock are voiced by the same person.
And the Pokedex.
That one I could kind of tell.
Yeah.
But they had a different James for like the first two or three episodes.
Yeah, there was a different James.
Yeah, it's weird.
Always weird. And they changed Meowth at one point.
And I think Misty is also Jesse. I think that's true as well.
I don't know that, but it would make sense.
Yeah, I mean, they basically reuse like the same main actors, and then they would throw in like one or two people to be that episode's like side character. So had people sounding the same all the time.
All the time, and all those people were on like Yu-Gi-Oh and Cubix, and it was like five people voicing like all these shows.
But I did meet Veronica Taylor and Eric Stewart at Supernova last year, like at a convention here in Australia, and that was pretty good. Goodness. So I got I got my Ash Ketchum hat signed by them.
Did you have them, like, record your voicemail?
No, I was going to get them to do, like, an intro to Connectivity, because I hadn't really thought about, you know, doing, like, a media thing beforehand. I was like, oh, damn, I should have done that. But I was going to just ask them to record something, but then... It costs like $20 to record something to your phone, so I was like, oh, I'm not going to pay $20. I'm already paying for the autograph, so...
Man.
But next time.
Yeah, next time that you run into Veronica Taylor and Eric
I'm sure they'll be back. I mean, they came out a couple of years before, and Andrew Brown actually interviewed them for the site as well.
Oh, yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah.
Well, I watched Black and White right when it came out. And I watched it in Japanese because I was, like, elitist and I didn't like the new English voice cast. And it was before Black and White, the games, came out here. And I was watching them in Japanese, like, with subtitles. Like, felt so cool. And it was really weird because in the first episode, the announcer was like, Ash Ketchum, a 10-year-old boy. And then they kept calling Zekrom a Pokemon called Legendary. He wasn't a legendary Pokemon. He was Zekrom. A Pokemon called Legendary. But it was, like, the same old shit. I couldn't fucking believe it. I was like, this show is, like, on its 12th season, and Jesse James and Meowth just showed up and tried to steal Pikachu, who was underpowered for some reason, and lost to a Snivy, like... Oh, and back then it wasn't Snivy, it was Tujadja, because they didn't have... it's, like, five S's. It's, like, T-S-U-T-S-T-S-U. Yeah. Oh, and my favorite one is there's the like jellyfish one. I don't know what its real name is, but it's Puriditi in Japanese. And there's one episode where they were like yelling about like, oh, Puriditi! Like Ash was fighting a Puriditi. They kept saying it so fast, I couldn't believe it.
Well, you know, Pokemon is basically just going to completely recycle itself over and over and over again for every new generation, yeah. basically. So at this point, it's not much, you know, you're pretty silly to hope that it's going to evolve at any point. I mean, now, like, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. That's why, like, having a side series, like Pokemon Origins for, like, the older market might have been, like, a cool idea. Maybe put out, like, I don't know, 10 episodes a year or something of that, or every couple of years would be interesting.
Yes, I love Pokemon Origins.
I've that always wanted to watch so it. I've heard such good things about it.
Well, you should watch it in Japanese, because it's much better that way.
I probably won't.
No.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know. I watched it before the English dub came out, so I don't know if it's any good.
But, like, early on in, like, the first few series of Pokemon, they tried to take out the Japanese sort of stuff, like the rice cakes or, like, donuts. The
donuts! And they changed it to, like, a hamburger and shit.
Yeah, and it was totally, like, not. And they used to be, they used to try and interweave, like, puns a lot. I mean, the titles are always some sort of pun as well.
Yep.
Yeah. Its puns are great.
Where, like, what was the episode? I think it was the episode with the two gangs were fighting, and Ash and I went under different names, and he was like, I'm going to be Tom Ado.
Yeah, instead of Ash Ketchum's Tomato.
Tom Ado, yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. What else do you guys want to talk about the anime?
The Pikachu language. I think we talked about that last time, but...
Oh, yeah, apparently you can translate Pikachu.
Did we talk about that next time or last time?
We spoke about it last time. It might not have been on the recording, though. You said that you could translate the Pikachu, like, language to real words, right?
Yeah, there's, like, 20 words. Like, I think, like, there's, like, Ketchup and Ash, Misty. I guess I could look it up. You guys can probably hear me tap, tap, tap.
Pika, see,
I like to keep the microphone as close to the keyboard as possible so people know what I'm typing.
Like the poker rap. What's up with that?
I want to be the best there ever was.
The poker rap at the end of the episode.
Yeah, that's my episode. That is the poker rap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had it, like, memorized back then, and I could sing along with the song, so I can't do it anymore. Unless it's, like, certain sections are playing at the same time.
Yeah. But, yeah, the poker app is, like, the most beautiful thing in the world. But then the second poker app is so awful, and it's so sad.
I'd just like to see him try and do it now with, like, 700 Pokemon.
someone did that, like, College Humor or something. How would
you do it? It takes, like, hour and a half later, it's just an entire album.
I tell you what, like a sort of a cool song that was on the second movie soundtrack was a track by like Weird Al Yankovic, I think.
Oh, the Pokemon. Oh, yeah.
Pokemon.
Yeah. Yep.
Everybody Pokemon. Yeah. That was a pretty catchy tune, so.
Okay, so I found the list. There's some beautiful ones on here. Like there's Pikachu P, which is Kasumi or Misty. And then there's Pikachu, which is Takeshi, or Brock, or Kibago, who I guess is Aksu, the little dragon dude. But I knew that, because it's Kibago and Best Wishes. I don't know where Ash is, but it's not on the list, but it's Pika P, because it's Satoshi. he introduces himself as Pika Pikachu, that's his name. Pika, Pikachu. He says Pika, Pika, like sayonara for goodbye. Oh my god. Oh, these are beautiful.
Alright, so, yeah, I'm not really sure there's much more to really sort of talk about, sort of about the anime. I still kind of like it. It's like, sometimes it's something easy to watch. You can just throw on an episode of Pokemon, it's just sort of like mindless enough. You just like, it's nostalgic sometimes. But yeah, some episodes are better than others. Like, as a kid, I used to not like the, you know, I didn't really like Team Rocket all that much. They used to just detract from, like, what was ever happening with Ash and his friends. But watching it, like, more recently, some of they are funny sometimes. Some of the antics and like back and forth that the actors have is like humorous, sort of humorous, like enough to, you know, make it worth watching them.
Do you guys watch X and Y at all? Seen any of it?
No.
Nope.
I haven't seen a single episode. I don't even know what channel it's on or what it's called in Japanese or anything.
It's on Netflix here. I watched one episode, but I haven't gone back to it.
Well, you have a magical Netflix then, because we don't have anything that new on our Netflix here.
Yeah.
Wait, I could probably maybe like proxy in. You're not supposed to do that, but maybe I could do that. Where do you live? Australia?
No.
Where do you live?
I'm from the Pokemon world, Adam. Your theory was true.
Oh yes. My god! See, right now you're just on the latest episode right now.
You're on Professor Oak's talk show. Yeah.
Is this Pokemon connectivity from Pokemon World Report?
Yeah. Pokenectivity.
Oh my god.
Pokeactivity. Yeah.
Are we hooked up to another Game Boy right now?
Yeah, we're gonna trade you.
Oh my gosh! What, you're gonna trade me?
We're gonna clone you, Adam.
You trade me or trade with me? No, don't turn off. I might disappear forever.
Yeah, you
might
be
cloned, or I might die.
All right, everyone, that'll do us for today. Thanks for listening, and thanks for coming on, Neil and Adam.
Anytime.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Okay, so we'll be back in a couple of weeks for the episode 200. Of Connectivity. If you'd like to send in some listener mail or just, you know, random comments that we could like maybe include somewhere in the 200th episode, please just send it to connectivity@nintendoworldreport.com or contact us on Twitter, which is @connectivitynwr. All right, so yeah, we'll see everyone in 2 weeks, and thanks for listening.